We turn in God's Word this morning to Luke 22, Luke chapter 22. We'll pick up our reading in verse 39. Jesus has celebrated with his disciples the Last Supper and instituted the Lord's Supper in the preceding verses. We pick up our reading as the Lord and his disciples leave the upper room and go to the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll read Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. This is the word of our God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Our text is verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, there Jesus was with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when you stand outside that garden and look into that garden, and the things that transpired in that garden, you and I might almost become afraid. You and I might hesitate to enter into that garden. Because in that garden, God was drawing back the veil of what the cross meant and what would be happening upon the cross. God revealed the agony of Jesus suffering the curse. God revealed there the shedding of Jesus' blood. God revealed there the weight of his wrath upon Jesus, so that Jesus himself prayed, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And as you enter into that Garden of Gethsemane and behold these things transpire, there is much in that garden that is hard to understand. Very, very hard to understand. You can look at those events, you can read about those events, but they're very, very difficult to understand. What does it mean that Jesus prays, Not my will, but thy will be done? Jesus is God. He's the Son of God with power. And there's an explanation for that. There's a doctrine there, and there's a theology there. There's an explanation for that. Jesus is God and Jesus is man. According to Jesus' human nature, he prays, Not my will, but thy divine will be done, which divine will Jesus also had. So you can explain that. You can teach the theology of that, but when you get finished with that, you must yet say there's still a mystery there. There's still a mystery there. And what does it mean that an angel came from heaven to minister unto Jesus? An angel came from heaven to minister unto Jesus? He's God! He's God in the garden! What is an angel doing? Ministering to Jesus. Well, there too, there's a theology, there's a doctrine, there's an explanation. Again, according to Jesus' human nature, which could become burdened and sorrowful, an angel came to minister to him. But when you've explained all that, you still have to say, but there's something mysterious about this yet. And what about those bloody drops of sweat that fell from his skin and dropped upon the ground? What is that? What's going on there? And you can give an explanation of all of that, and yet when we stand in the Garden of Gethsemane, we look at all these things and say, there's so much mystery here. There's so much depth that I feel I can hardly see into it, and I'm barely scratching the surface of what is happening there in the garden. And that's right, because what's happening in the garden is the mystery of your salvation. And that's a deep thing. The mystery of your salvation, which is wrought by the mighty arm of God through His only begotten Son. The mystery of your salvation, which is that although you committed all the sin of Adam and you committed all the sin of your own life, you didn't die for it, and I didn't, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. That's the mystery of our salvation, being worked out and being brought to pass in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I stand before a tremendous mystery. But as you stand there in the garden and you look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He understands the whole mystery of it. He understands the whole counsel and the whole will of God concerning it. He understands the purpose of God to save His people through His own shed blood and His own broken body. The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly and knew exactly what was happening there. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of these things, embraced that will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to that will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished that will of God. You and I, it's enough for us to say, there is a mystery. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who knows that mystery and who works that mystery out for your salvation. And that's what He's given to us in the Supper of the Lord this morning as well. He represents to us in that supper the mystery of His body and blood. He represents to us the mystery of our salvation through Him, for our comfort, for our peace, for our assurance, for our conviction, that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And so, this morning, let us consider this Word of God and that event of Jesus' sweaty blood under the theme, Jesus' bloody sweat. In the first place, consider what. In the first place, why. And in the third place, unto what. Jesus' bloody sweat. What, why, and unto what. As you stand there in the Garden of Gethsemane, you see the Lord. Now, the disciples were not immediately surrounding the Lord when this happened. They were off a little ways. They were sleeping. But the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit saw all these things happen, and the Holy Spirit told Luke of these things, so that Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells you and I what happened there, and God tells you and I what happened there. And as Jesus is there in that Garden of Gethsemane, where it's dark now, evening having fallen, and where it's cold, it was a cold night that night, there we find Jesus bowed over in prayer and coming out of the skin of the Lord Jesus Christ is blood. His own body's blood oozing out of His flesh and mingling with His sweat and running down His arms and His face and His belly and His legs and His feet and dropping onto the ground. His sweat was mingled with blood. Great drops of blood falling onto the ground. Jesus was bleeding from his pores, that place in the body where the sweat is produced and out of which the sweat comes. Now Jesus' blood was not this, that there were cuts all over his body, and those cuts were bleeding, and the blood of those cuts was running down his body. There were no cuts on Jesus, not yet. There would be with the crown of thorns in a little while. There would be with the nails through his hands and his feet, but in the garden there were no cuts yet. And yet Jesus was bleeding. And his blood would mingle with that sweat and drop upon the ground. When our text says that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood, the text does not mean to say he wasn't really bleeding, he was only sweating, but his sweat looked like great drops of blood, as it were great drops of blood. Nor does the text mean to say that the sweat represented blood, so that even though he wasn't really bleeding, that sweat represented what his blood would be like in a little while. The words, as it were, does not mean to deny the reality of the blood. But rather, as it were, means to say, I don't know how to describe this in human language. As if Luke is saying, I don't know how to describe this in human language. And the Holy Spirit gave him that language. His sweat came out of him, as it were, great drops of blood falling on the ground, so that anyone who reads that can have in their mind's eye the picture of that blood coming out of his pores and running down his arms and legs, mingled with his sweat and those great droplets falling and splashing upon the ground. The Lord Jesus Christ was bleeding out of his own body. His own life's blood was being pressed out of him. And this bloody sweat of the Lord Jesus Christ was entirely unique. This had never happened before in the history of the world, and this will never happen again. When you try to explain what this bloody sweat was then, you may not ask a doctor what this bloody sweat was, and you may not consult a medical book. The medical books talk about a phenomenon something like this. They even have a name for it, a long medical name for it, a very, very rare condition where someone under extreme stress will find that tiny blood vessels in their skin break and that blood mingles with their sweat and flows out, not in great droplets, but in a little wash and a little sheen of bloody sweat. That's not what was happening to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing medical about what was happening. No medical explanation for it. The Lord Jesus Christ sweat these great drops of blood out of his pores in an entirely unique occurrence that never happened before and will never happen again. He's the only one who ever sweat drops of blood this way and with this meaning. The Lord's sweating great drops of blood was part of his suffering. Part of his suffering, the curse of God, the wrath of God against the sins of his people. And that's evident in the text too. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Lord Jesus Christ was in agony. And the agony of the Lord was not that he was about to die. The agony of the Lord was not that he was about to be tortured and beaten and cut by the cruel hands of wicked men. The agony of the Lord was none of those things. The agony of the Lord was that he was fighting in that moment our own sin. He was fighting in that moment the guilt of his people. That's the word agony here in the text. That word agony is literally the word conflict. The Lord was in a conflict, a tremendous battle. And that tremendous battle was not the Lord against some mere physical death. It wasn't even the Lord against the devil, as if the devil crept up to him in the garden and assaulted him in the garden. But the Lord was in a tremendous conflict against your sin, against your guilt, against your death and mine. And this was a tremendous conflict for the Lord, because the way that He must engage this conflict and the way in which He must enter into this battle was by taking the cup that had all of our sin and all of God's curse against all of our sin and drinking it, taking it all upon Himself. That was the conflict. And that was the agony in which our Lord found Himself. And when these great drops of blood came out of His pores with His sweat, that was a testimony of what was happening in this conflict and in this agony. It was a testimony of what God was doing to Jesus in that moment and in this suffering. And that answers the question then, why? Why did He sweat great drops of blood? The answer to why is that Jesus was bearing God's wrath in His body. The curse of God rested upon His body. Not only His soul. When we think of the curse of God being upon Christ, perhaps we think especially of the soul. That inner man that we each have, that inner man that the Lord Jesus Christ had, that human soul of the Lord. And the curse of the Lord and the wrath of God laying upon that soul, on His mind, on His will, on His affections. And that's true. The curse of the Lord lay upon Jesus' soul. God poured out His wrath on Jesus' soul. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, with the bloody sweat, God also testified, I have cursed His body. I am angry with His body. I lay my wrath upon His body. There in the garden, God cursed His head, the head of Jesus Christ. God cursed the hands of Jesus Christ. Cursed His arms. Cursed His belly. Cursed His back. Cursed His legs. Cursed His feet. God cursed the body of the Lord. And as God cursed the body of the Lord, the sweat pressed out of Him. God packed into His body all His wrath. And that packing in of all His wrath and curse drove out of Him His own blood through His pores, so that His blood dropped upon the ground. That's the Catechism's explanation of the suffering of the Lord. The Heidelberg Catechism says, in that Lord's Day on Jesus' suffering, what dost thou mean that He suffered? The Catechism explains that all His life, both in body and soul, He bore the wrath of God against our sins. The Catechism calls our attention to the body, and that's what the Lord does in this text. His sweating great drops of blood was the curse of God in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, pressing out of His body His own life's blood. And Jesus had to be cursed in His body, because you have a body and you sin in your body. You use your body in the service of your own lust, your own greed, your own pride, your own idolatry, your own covetousness. You have a body, and you sin in your body. And the curse of God must rest upon the sin of our body. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane sweat blood. Because of your sins and my sins in our bodies, that the Lord laid upon Jesus Christ. God came to Christ in the garden, and He cursed His hands. Because your hands have worked iniquity. And with your hands, you have done what the Lord has forbidden. And with your hands, you have failed to do what the Lord has commanded you to do. Your hands are the instruments of your work. Your hands are the instruments of your deeds. And with your hands, you have worked many wicked works and done many wicked deeds. And because your hands are wicked, the Lord came to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and cursed His hands so that the bloody sweat pressed out of them. The Lord came to Jesus in Gethsemane and cursed His arms, and cursed His legs, the arms of a man. And the legs of a man are a man's strength. When his arm is strong, then a man accomplishes his purpose. And when his legs are strong, then he goes according to his purpose. And God came to Christ to curse his arms and his legs because your arms and your legs, your strength, you have used against the Lord. You used your arms and your legs against the Lord in paradise. When our first father Adam took hold of the fruit that the Lord had forbidden him to eat and ate of it, using the power of his body to contradict the Lord's word. You have used your strength, the strength of your waking hours, the strength of the body the Lord has given you in your arms and legs to contradict the Lord, to fight against Him, to go your own way. So God came to Jesus in the garden, cursed His arms and legs, and pressed the sweat mingled with blood out of His body. God cursed Jesus' eyeballs, His iris and His retina, because you have used your eyeballs to see many things that you ought not see. And you have closed your eyes to the plight of your brother and your neighbor, and have not deigned to look upon him. Because you have sinned with your eyes, the Lord cursed the eyes of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. God cursed his lips and his tongue because you have used your lips and your tongue to speak many wicked words, and you have firmly pressed your lips and your tongue together not to confess the Lord when you ought to have confessed the Lord. And over your lips and your tongue have proceeded many lies, many damnable lies, and false doctrines. And so the Lord came to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and cursed his lips and cursed his tongue so that the blood was pressed out of his body. He came to Jesus and cursed his back. Because with your back, you have borne many burdens that you ought not have borne. With your back, you have failed to bear the burdens that you ought to have borne. And lying upon your back in your bed, you have committed many wicked things. And so the Lord came to Jesus Christ in the garden and cursed his back so that the blood pressed out of it. God came to Christ and cursed his feet, cursed the arch of his foot and the heel of his foot and his Achilles tendon and his toes, because you have used your feet, walking upon the arch of your foot, moving with the heel of your foot and the toes of your feet, to go where you ought not have gone and to fail to go where you should have gone. You have used your feet to run in the sins of your own heart. And so God came to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and cursed his feet so that the blood was pressed out of his body. Lord Jesus Christ, blood, great drops in the garden, out of the pores of his body which splashed upon the ground. Because of your sin with your body. And the Lord took that whole curse that was packed into his body. That whole weight of wrath that was put upon every member of his body. He carried that whole curse through that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and through the trials the next day before Pilate and Herod and the Sanhedrin, right to the cross. The whole curse of God was there in his body against the sins you have committed in your body and that I have. The Lord took that whole curse to the cross, that whole burden of wrath, and he bore it and finished it, fulfilled it, so that the Lord, declaring it is finished, was declaring that curse is gone. Jesus was saying, with the words, it is finished. The curse of God is no longer on my head. The curse of God is no longer on my eyeballs, on my lips and my tongue. The curse of God is no longer on my hands and my feet, my arms and my legs, my back and my belly. The curse of God is no longer upon me, for I have finished that curse. I have finished his purpose with regard to the salvation of my people, and I have borne that whole curse away. That whole curse is gone. The Lord Jesus Christ, taking upon him that curse in the garden, so that his body sweat blood, took it upon himself to take it away, nail it to the cross, and be finished with that curse forever. The Lord did that for this purpose, that that curse might never fall upon you. It can never fall upon you. What did you do with your hand? God cursed Jesus' hand for it. Your hand will never be cursed for it. What did you see with your eye? God cursed Jesus' eye for it and will never send that curse upon your eye. Where did you go with your feet? God cursed Jesus' feet for it so that that curse will never come on your feet. The curse of the Lord was borne by Jesus Christ in his body and entirely taken away. That's the testimony of the gospel. The gospel does not tell you what you better do with your hand and better do with your feet and better do with your eye and better do with your mouth so that you can be right with God. The gospel tells you what Jesus did with his hand and his eye and his feet and his mouth that you might be right with God. And what did he do with his hand and eye and mouth? He bore your curse for the sins of your hand and eye and mouth and feet. He bore your curse in his own body and took it away. That's what God tells us in the sacrament. When you take that bread, that representation of the broken body of Jesus Christ, God testifies to you, your body in your head and your feet and your eyes and your back and your hands. Your body will not be broken like this. Your body will not be cursed the way I cursed my only begotten Son's body. Because it's finished. Here it is, it's finished. And the curse is removed. Eat that bread and believe the Lord Jesus Christ in all his finished work. The Lord gives that bread to comfort our weary souls with regard to all the sins of our body. And when you take that cup of wine and you drink that representation of the blood of Christ, that's God's testimony to you that I packed my curse into Jesus' body and pressed out of his body his own blood so that I will never pack my curse into your body. I will never damn you for your sins. Would anyone dare despise that testimony of the Lord? Would anyone dare say about that gospel and about that body and blood, I don't want it. I don't want it. That's not for me. I won't have it. Would anyone dare say that about the curse of God in the body of Jesus Christ? Well, we might say that as part of the sin of our flesh. God comes in the gospel of salvation, the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ, and the sacrament which represents it, to assure us that all these sins are forgiven. Now there's the mystery of your salvation. Your hand committed your sin, but Christ's hand was cursed for it. Your eye committed your sin, but Christ's eye was cursed for it. And he bore that whole curse away, that you might behold the glory of God and your righteousness in Christ. Come to the table, beloved, and behold the Lord in his bloody sweat for you. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts and comfort us and encourage us by it. We thank thee for the gospel of our Lord, for his perfect work. We thank thee for the sacrament by which he represents this to us. Wilt thou hear our prayer and be mindful of us in thy mercy, forgiving our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.